Well, welcome back to the fourth of our talks in the subject Revelation, a message for our troubled times. And it is a message for our troubled times. The book of Revelation is all about our troubled times. It tells us why we are in the predicament we're in, why this world is so chaotic, why these troubles come down upon us. It tells us what the result of these things will be. And it tells us of a wonderful Saviour, because it tells us of the gospel age that we are in at this moment in time, between the Lord Jesus Christ's first coming, when he died on the cross of Calvary, sent to save his people from their sins, all those who would ever believe upon him, to save them and forgive them their sins and make them fit for his kingdom. And that time, at the end of time, when he will come again to judge those who will not have him as their Saviour and cast them away from him forever and all eternity into hell. So it's about us, friends, isn't it? It's personal. It's something that we need to take to heart and we need to understand. It's meant for our blessing. It's meant so that we will have eternal life in Jesus Christ and not perish and die and go to a lost eternity. Well, we've looked at the first section of this book. Let me remind you that the book is in seven sections. That's number seven, represents the perfection of God, the completeness of God. And here it is, his complete and perfect work that will be done in the world and in his church during this gospel age. And the first section was about Christ. It focused our attention upon him, the glorious Saviour, the risen Saviour, the glorified Saviour in heaven, and what he is doing is about Christ and what he did next after he had risen from the dead and gone to be with his Father. And here we see him in the midst of his church, always dealing with his church, constantly perfecting them so that they will shine more and more brightly for him in this fallen world of darkness. This world of darkness, of sin and depravity. And as the world descends further and further, as it will, before his coming again into that sin and depravity, then the church should shine more brightly for him, showing his glory, his wonder, his grace, his mercy, but also his justice and his wrath and his standards that he will judge us by. So here it is. Christ in the midst of his church, the first section. But the second section, which we're just about to begin in chapter 4, starts with God and Christ and his church in heaven. It shows what is going on in heaven. Now, it explains these things in terms that we can understand, so in picture language. But we see the wonder of God sitting on his throne, ever ruling, ever over his church, and over the world, bringing about his will and his purposes for the good of his church and the glory of his name in this world and in eternity. And what we see is when that church shines for the Lord Jesus Christ, that the world rejects that light. The world will not come to the light, but the world persecutes the church and will not have the Lord Jesus Christ to rule over them. But, although the world does this, God and Christ is in control. He is ever working his purposes out. He is ever doing his will in this world and bringing about his purposes. We may resent that. We may not like that, but it is a fact. And we cannot withstand the mighty God of heaven and earth. So as we start this second section, just let me read you verses 1 to 6 of chapter 4. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I saw, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper. And a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white. And they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and around the throne, were four living creatures, full of eyes, in front and in back. So the first picture we see in this panorama of heaven is the throne room of God. And right in the centre of that throne room is the throne of God. So like in every good picture, we have a centre point, we have a focal point, and the focal point of this panorama is his throne, because he is on the throne. He rules, he reigns over all things, and his will is done in all the world and in heaven. None can thwart him and stand against him. And we see a picture of our God here, don't we? Very vague picture, but it is the picture of perfection. We see him described as a jasper stone. That jasper stone has a beautiful clarity to it. And that clarity represents his holiness. And then we see a sardis stone representing too. A sardis stone is blood red, representing his justice and his wrath against sin. And we see him there sitting with a rainbow over his head, this emerald rainbow representing grace and mercy to all who will come to him through Jesus Christ, his Son. There he is, sitting on his throne, judging the world, judging the nations, judging the people. And around the throne were 24 thrones. Those 24 thrones represent the whole church of God. In the Old Testament, those who were saved from the 12 tribes of Israel and those who came to salvation through their work and through their ministry. And in the New Testament, we see the church represented by the 12 apostles, which are the foundation of the church, those who continued the work that Jesus Christ has started in this world to build the church and to establish the church on earth. So we have his whole church represented there before his throne. And beyond the throne, we hear this great noise, this incredible noise over all other noises. Verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. That represents God being heard above all others. He cannot be silent. He will make himself heard one way or the other. In heaven, he is always heard. And on earth, he will be heard. And he will make his purposes known in all the earth and bring about his purposes. And there are seven lamps of fire burning before his throne, representing his Holy Spirit, ever burning brightly, that light into the world, bringing illumination into all the hearts and minds and souls of those who will receive him and will be saved. And before the throne was this sea of glass like crystal, that sea of glass representing his purity that all must be purified by before they can come into his presence. All must be washed, all must be cleansed of their sins if they are to know a holy and a pure God. None can come before him in their sins. None can reside in his heaven in their depravity. All must be washed away in the blood of the Lamb. So our focus is set on that throne and on our God. The picture is saying, behold your God who rules over all the earth. And in all, as all throne rooms, this throne room is here to bring about in us a sense of awe and wonder of the one who sits upon that throne. Awe and wonder of our King and our God and our Lord who rules over the world. And make us realize that he is truly God and that we must bow before him. You see, as we look upon him and his purity and his holiness and his might and his power and his glory, the one thing that we do not want to do is anger such a God, do we? The one thing that we must not do is bring that anger of our God and his justice and his wrath against sin down upon our heads. Sadly, that's the one thing that we are doing constantly with our sin and our rebellion against him. We need peace with our God, and we can only find that peace through the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this Easter time, we remember how he brought peace between God and man. He came to die on that cross, to give his life, to take the sin and punishment of all those who would believe upon him and trust in him as their Saviour, to wash away their sins so that they can be right before their God in heaven. That's how we have peace with God, through the Prince of Peace, through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace? That's a question for all of us to ask ourselves this day, isn't it? Before we have to face our God and answer for our sins before him. Well, secondly, in this second section, we see those who are present before the throne of God and what they are doing. In verse 7 we read, "The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives for ever and ever, and cast their thrones before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Well, what a picture we have of those who are before the throne of God. They worship their God and they glorify their God. First, we have those four living creatures ever there set before the throne to do his will and to bring about his purposes. Now we're told that they are cherubims in other books of the Bible. We know that they represent the whole of the angelic host of God. And here we see them always ready. They have eyes all around them. They see all things. They see all that God wants them to do. And they fly at his command to do those works. That's why we have a picture of them like these four creatures. A lion, which represents might and power, bringing about the will of God. An ox, full of strength. None can resist the strength of our God and the will and purposes of our God. Then we see a man. A man represents intelligence and wisdom to bring about the purposes of God, and an eagle that flies swiftly to do God's command as he commands it, as he wills it, and as he purposes it. That is the angelic host. They ever live to do God's will and to bring about God's purposes in this world and in heaven. And then we see that they have six wings. Verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around. These six wings are there because they are swift to fly, and they never fail to do God's will and bring about God's purposes. And look what they do. Verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They are ever worshipping their God, praising their God, and they sing this wonderful song. They and the whole church of God, they sing of God's worthiness. You are worthy, O Lord, who is to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's the song of the angels of heaven. And that's the song of the church of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And as we sing that song, we bow before him and we cast our crowns before him, representing that we realize that all glory and honor is due to him and none is due to us. He saved us. We did not save ourselves. He redeemed us. We did not redeem ourselves. He made a church for himself. He is building his kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, not because of us, but because our God will bring about his will and purposes in all things. And we will be more than conquerors through Christ who loves us and Christ who has given himself for us. All glory and all honour is due to our God. He is worthy, our God, our Saviour and our Lord. And let me ask you, friends, is this your song today? Can you sing that song to the Lord Jesus Christ? If it is, then let's sing it loud and clear to all the world. Let's shine for him to all the world while we have opportunity. Let's tell the world of our Lord and Saviour, the way of salvation, the way, the truth and the life. Because nobody comes to the Father but by him. And if you cannot sing that song today, and friends, it is a song you need to learn to sing. You need to learn it by coming to Jesus Christ, bringing all your sins to him, and putting your trust in him as your Saviour, your Lord and friend. And you need to do it now, not wait, for the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's standing at the door. He will enter in one day, and he will bring the end of all opportunity to turn to him. Don't miss that opportunity, friends. Come to him and put your trust in him. Thank you for listening.